From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books of the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. The focus in this message is the book of Acts. The chief characteristic here is action, for the book demonstrates the work of the Holy Spirit in spreading the gospel and building the Church of Jesus Christ in the years immediately following his resurrection. In the course of Luke's account of the growth of the New Testament church, he describes the new believers as people who are chosen by God, who are prepared by their study of God's Word, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, whose chief activities are prayer and preaching the gospel. We'll see that three motifs run through the book: God's power, His purpose, and His program for evangelism. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, The Message of Acts, a Militant and Triumphant Witness. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Refreshing Sleep. The text is Proverbs 3 and verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Is our listener likely to be confined for a while to the bed by sickness? Let him go upstairs without distress, with this promise upon his heart, When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. When we go to bed at night, let this word smooth our pillow. We cannot guard ourselves in sleep, but the Lord will keep us through the night. Those who lie down under the protection of the Lord are as secure as kings and queens in their palaces, and a great deal more so. If with our lying down there is a laying down of all cares and ambitions, we shall get refreshment out of our beds, such as the anxious and covetous never find in theirs. Ill dreams shall be banished, and even if they come, we shall wipe out the impression of them, knowing that they are only dreams. If we sleep thus, we shall do well. How sweetly Peter slept, even when the angel's light did not wake him, and he needed a hard jog in the side to wake him up. And yet he was sentenced to die on the morrow. Thus have martyrs slept before their burning. So he giveth his beloved sleep. To have sweet sleep, we must have sweet lives, sweet tempers, sweet meditations, and sweet love.
Thank you.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
If I could paraphrase verse 7, he says, don't speculate. when Christ will set up his millennial kingdom. That's what they were interested in. Will you restore at this time the kingdom to Israel? That's what they were interested in. He says, that's not your concern. Don't speculate about when Christ will do this. That, with all other times and seasons, is in God's hand. It's in God's authority. Now, God hasn't given you the authority to look into that. And I want to tell you, when these people come along and they start manipulating the scripture to say, ah, but we do have the authority to look into this, and we do have the authority to set these times and dates and all the rest of it, you know that they're contradicting the word and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not give you that authority. But what he does give you is ability. He says, I have power for you to do something much more immediate and much more important. And in verse 8, you have three motifs that run throughout this whole book. Power. The purpose for that power. Now, this is very important. What is the purpose for the power of God? What's the purpose of God filling people with the Holy Ghost? That they might speak in tongues. No, sir. The nonsense that the sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit is that you speak in tongues, first of all, means that Jesus Christ was not filled with the Holy Spirit, for he never spoke in tongues. That blasphemy in itself will tell you that it's wrong. Second, it contradicts the plain statement of the Apostle Paul, who said that tongues are not a sign to believers. Nothing could be any more categorical than that. So it not only relegates Christ to a place where he didn't know the fullness of the Spirit, and John the Baptist, by the way, as well, it also says that Paul was wrong in understanding. Third, the tongues of the movements of charismatics and Pentecostalists today are not even the tongues of Scripture, which were foreign languages, not ecstatic babblings. Let's understand that. So, for anybody to say the power of the Spirit is given that I might have an experience of tongues is wrong. In fact, the power of the Spirit is not given in order to terminate upon us in any experience. Now, there is experience, but the experience is not the end of anything. The power of the Spirit is given with the purpose that we might be witnesses unto Christ. It's power to witness. It's power to make known Christ. It's power to get out the gospel. That's what the fullness of the Spirit's about. And then, you not only have the power and the purpose, you have the program. That's the third motif that runs through this book. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, when you run quickly through the book, you find these motifs certainly are worked out in some detail. Chapter 2 gives you the story of the power. There was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit came upon his people. There's the power in chapter 2. What's the immediate result of the power? Here's the purpose. It was witnessing. They started immediately to preach. I think that those commentators are right who see Acts chapter 2 taking place in the courts of the temple. That's where they were meeting at this time. They had gone to meet in the temple, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they immediately started preaching Christ. That's the heart of the book, as they preach Jesus. They preach Christ wherever they went. And then the program. The story of the book of Acts is the geographical expansion of the gospel to reach the world. Now, look at it carefully. Acts is a very sad story in some ways, because it's the story of the cutting off of the nation of Israel because of her rejection of Christ. And that all seems so tragic. I have to be honest with you, when I look at this, I say we naturally feel that the cause of the gospel would have been much more advanced. It would have been so much better if the Jews had embraced the gospel, and if the church and the apostles had not had to fight the determined opposition of the Jews all over the empire. If they'd only got to go and take on the strongholds of heathenism, if they had been welcomed by the Jews, if Judaism had opened its arms, I'd have to say, surely that would have been good for the gospel. But you know, I'd be wrong. The Lord does all things right and the Lord does all things well. And Romans 11 tells me that Israel's cutting off was actually a means in the hand of God to bless the whole world. For instance, it meant that the gospel would never stagnate among the Jews. It meant that such efforts as you find in Acts 15 by some Pharisaic sect to drag the gospel down to the level of mere Jewish nationalism, that they would never really succeed. God was ensuring that the message would reach the world. So the Jews were cut off. And then the gospel went out, spreading further and further to the ends of the earth. And this is the program of Acts. Chapter 2 starts in Jerusalem. Chapter 3 to 7, it's spreading throughout all Judea. In chapter 8, it reaches into Samaria and other areas. And then in chapter 13 to 28, it reaches to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the program. Now, in order to carry out this program, God gave his servants a message. We call it the gospel. And it was the same for the Jews as it was for the Gentiles. So how then can we sum up the whole theme of the book of the Acts? I think we can sum it up very simply. This is what the book's all about. God gave his Spirit to empower his people, his servants, to witness to the person and work of his Son. And so built his church, his kingdom in the world. Now let me repeat that. God gave his Spirit to empower the witness of his servants to the person and work of his Son. And so built his church, his kingdom in the world. That gift has never been withdrawn. Even as we were singing this morning in the last hymn. That gift has never been withdrawn, and it remains with the church until the consummation of the kingdom in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this book then has the theme of the church militant and the church triumphant in its Spirit-filled witness to Christ. That's what the book is all about. It's militant, it's triumphant in its witness to Jesus Christ. Now then, that lays the groundwork. And we haven't started to the message yet. But I'm going to sum it all up. There are many details that time will not allow me to go into. But I'll make three basic assertions from this book, proving the great central theme, or expounding it. Number one, the church and the church of Christ alone has the message the world needs. In the time of the book of the Acts, there were many voices. There were many philosophies. There were many religions, and they were all clamoring to be heard, and they were all asserting that they had the light. But none of them had the message that the world needed, and none of them had any word for any poor sinner. Only the Church of Jesus Christ had that. Because God had given her the message. The message was a universal one for the Jews, the Gentiles, the Greeks, the barbarians, the bond and the free. It was a divine message with all the authority of heaven behind it. And it was, and this is the heart, it was a Christ-centered message. When you read the book of Acts next time, just note the great sermons or parts of great sermons that you have in this book. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 7, chapter 10, chapter 13, chapter 20, chapter 24, chapter 26, chapter 28. And you'll find other evidences. This is a book of great sermons about a great message. And as you read through, there are points of emphasis that differ from place to place and time to time. But the message never changed. The Lord Jesus was rejected by men and put to death. God raised him from the dead. Therefore, we preach he is Lord and Christ. And in his name there is forgiveness, there is salvation, there is justification, and all this by grace through faith without works. That is the message. Paul summed it up in chapter 20, verses 24 to 27. when he said, none of these things move me. They're trying to stop him going up to Jerusalem. He says, neither do I count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish the course with joy, the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What was it? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And in verse 27 he calls this gospel of the grace of God, the preaching of the kingdom of God, he calls it all the counsel of God. I want you to notice something, by the way. That to the apostles, the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God was preaching the kingdom. And preaching the kingdom was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. There was no dispensationalist or Schofield division between the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom. To the apostles, the kingdom had come in Christ. The kingdom was then, by them, being enjoyed in Christ. And they looked forward with the expectation that the kingdom would be consummated at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, in looking at the verses we read in chapter 1, that they fully expected Christ to reign on earth after Israel had been regrafted into the olive tree of God's one indivisible church. I realize that good men disagree on that point. Time will soon prove what is accurate exegesis. In the meantime, we need to learn what I was pointing out in chapter 1. It's not for us to spend our time looking into times and seasons. We have power to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. We have a message for the world. We are the only ones with a message for the world. You think of the people who are running around America with their message. All the media has been filled with the wackos in Waco, Texas. And I say that not at all insensitive to the awful tragedy that happened there. But there was a man who had a message for the world. He's Jesus Christ. The Unification Church of Sun Myung Moon, which is very, very large interest here in America, one of the richest organizations in the country, is built around another liar who says, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Messiah. Then you have the Hollywood set, the Shirley MacLaines and the New Agers. They're saying, we have the message. The Pope says, I have the message. The National Council of Churches says, I have the message, or we have the message. And all these voices are coming in. My friend, let me tell you, these do not have the message. The message that the world needs is the message that God has given to His people. It is the old message of the gospel of Christ crucified and risen from the dead and able to see Him. It's the message. When you read through this book of Acts, you'll find that they preached it uncompromisingly. And how we would need to learn their secret in this man-mad age, in this age that centers on man, man's technology, man's ability, man's autonomy, man's free will, man's power, man's everything. We would need to get back to the focal point of Peter's very first sermon in Acts chapter 2. We find that they were speaking about the wonderful works of God. Verse 11, the wonderful works of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.